జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపిజన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ యశోదానందన బ్రజ జనరంజన యమున తీరవన చారి యమున యమున తీరవన చారి జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ యశోదానందన బ్రజ జనరంజన యమున తీరవన చారి యమున జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి జయ విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివేషికాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమద్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీ ప్రభుపాదికి జయ విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివేషికాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమద్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి గోస్వామి హరాశుల ప్రభుపాద అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవరందకి మామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ ప్రేమిసుకో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసాది గౌరభక్తులకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపిన శ్యామ కుండ రాధాకుండగిరి గౌరవం బృందవన్ ధామ్ నవదేవ్ ధామ్ జగన్నాథపురి ధామ్ గంగామయ్య భక్తిదేవికి శ్రీమతి తులసి మహారాణికి కలియుపావన శ్రీహరినామ సంకీర్తన నితాయి గౌరు ప్రేమానందే సమవేత భక్తులందరికి సమవేత భక్తులు శ్రీ గురు గౌరాంగ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్యం నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికీ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షురుమీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురువే నమః namo vishnu padaya krishna prishthaya bhutale srimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshatarine shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Welcome to Morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 12, Text number 15. Tamochur Brahmanas Tushta Rajanam Prashrayanvitam Eshahi Asmin Prajatanto Purunam Pauravarshava Tamochur Brahmanas Tushta Rajanam Prashrayanvitam Eshahi Asin Prajatanto Purunam Pauravarshava Tamochur Brahmanas Tushta Rajanam Prashrayanvitam Eshai Asmin Prajatantau Purunam Pauravarshabha this words were meaning tam unto him uchuhu addressed brahmana the learned brahmanas tushta very much satisfied rajanam unto the king prashrayanvitam very much obliging esha this he certainly asmin in the chain of Prajatantau, descending line, Purunam of the Purus, Pauravarshabha, the chief among the Purus. Translation. The learned Brahmanas, who were very satisfied with the charities of the king, addressed him as a chief amongst the Purus and informed him that his son was certainly in the line of descend from the porous. There is no purport. We'll go to the next verse. Daivanam pratighatena shukle samstham upevishi rato anugrahartaya vishnuna prabhavishnuna. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Brahmana said, the spotless sun has been restored by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, in order to oblige you. He was saved when he was doomed to be destroyed by an irresistible supernatural weapon. Purport. The child Parikshit was saved by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Vishnu for two reasons. The first reason is that the child in the womb of his mother was spotless due to his being a pure devotee of the Lord. The second reason is that the child was the only surviving male descendant of the Puru, the pious forefather of the virtuous king Yudhishthira. The Lord wants to continue the line of pious kings to rule over the earth as his representatives for the actual progress of a peaceful and prosperous life. After the battle of Kurukshetra, even up to the next generation of Maharaj Yudhishthira was annihilated, and there were none who could generate another son in the great royal family. Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Abhimanyu, was the only surviving heir apparent in the family, and by the irresistible supernatural Brahmastra weapon of Ashwatthama, he was forced to be annihilated. Lord Krishna is described herein as Vishnu, and he is also significant. Lord Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, does the work of protection and annihilation in his capacity of Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. The all-pervasive activities of Lord are executed by him in his Vishnu feature. Child Parikshit is described herein as spotlessly white because he is an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. Such unalloyed devotees of the Lord appear on the earth just to execute the mission of the Lord. The Lord desires the conditioned soul hovering in the material creation to be reclaimed to go back to home, back to Godhead. And thus he helps them by preparing the transcendental literature like Vedas, by sending missionaries of saints and sages, and by deputing his representative, the spiritual master. Such transcendental literatures, missionaries and representatives of the Lord are spotlessly white because the contamination of the material qualities cannot even touch them. They are always protected by the Lord when they are threatened with annihilation. Such foolish threats are made by the gross materialist. The Brahmastra, which was thrown by Ashwatthama at the child Parikshit, was certainly supernaturally powerful, and nothing of the material world could resist its force of penetration. But the all-powerful Lord, who is present everywhere within and without, could counteract it by his all-powerful potency just to save a bona fide servant of the Lord, a descendant of another devotee, Maharaj Yudhishthira, who was always obliged by the Lord by his causeless mercy. Hare Krishna. So, once in Naimisharanya, the great sages, 88,000 in number, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, they all assembled to perform 1,000-year sacrifice. And they were asking questions to Suta Goswami. After getting their answers, first six questions, the Shaunaka Rishi, who headed all the sages, further asked about King Parikshit. He said that Abhimanyu Sutam Suta Prahur Bhagavatottama Tasya Janma Mahascharya Karmanicha Grihinina. It is said that Parikshit is great devotee of the Lord, whose birth and activities were very wonderful. The sages said that please describe about Maharaj Parikshit. But in the course of discussion, Suta Goswami discussed many more sweet pastimes, especially Lord Krishna leaving to Hastinapur and coming back to Dwaraka. So in the meantime, he was kind of forgotten. He had forgotten the questions. So therefore, again, the sages are, you know, reminding him. So therefore, they said that now we want to hear once again the glories of Parikshit Maharaj. Especially his birth, his activities, his death and his destination. The sages wanted to know. So therefore, in response to the questions asked by these sages and headed by Shaunaka Rishi, the Suta Goswami is now about to describe. So in response to their question, Suta Goswami first described the exemplary rule by King Yudhishthira Maharaj. And then he described about the protection given by Lord Krishna in the form of Lord Vishnu to this child Parikshit in his womb. When he was attacked by the great powerful Brahmastra weapon released by Ashwatthama. So little Parikshit in his mother's womb only he could get darshan of the Lord. Lord Vishnu. It is mentioned over there. Angushta matram amalam spurat purata maulinam apive darshanam shamam tadit vasasam achyutam. That how this little Parikshit could see the Lord coming in 400 form, having Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma, and he was furiously trying to protect King, child Parikshit in his mother's womb. So then there is a description of the ceremonies performed during Maharaj Parikshit's birth that we all heard in our recent classes. And in today's verse, the Brahmanas are saying that your son Parikshit was protected by all powerful Lord in his mother's womb, and that is the glory of your child Parikshit, and that is the mercy of the Lord Krishna on your child. And in purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions why the child was protected. He gives two reasons. One reason is that he was a spotless devotee of the Lord, King Parikshit, child Parikshit, pure devotee of the Lord. And secondly, the child was the only surviving male descendant of the dynasty. So therefore, he had to be protected. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any descendants in this great dynasty of kings. So thus, the child Parikshit was protected in his womb. And we see that how Maharaj Parikshit, the glories are sung in Srimad Bhagavatam. He is called as Vishnu Rata because he was personally protected by 400 form of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, he is known as Vishnu Rata. And he is also known as, described in this pages of Bhagavatam as Bharata, the descendants of Bharata Vamsha. And thirdly, he is also known as Parikshit. Parikshit because especially he was, when he had darshan of the Lord in his mother's womb, and in he came out of the womb of his mother, then he was searching for where that Lord is, who protected me in my most unnatural condition when I was in mother's womb. So therefore, he was always trying to examine everybody whomever he met. Therefore, is known as Parikshit because always kept on examining whomever he met. Then he is also known as Veera because he could withstand the insurmountable heat generated by Brahmastra in the womb itself. He is also known as Rukan Rishu because he could single-handedly maintain the entire citizens, all the population of the entire world. So therefore, is also known as Rukan Rishu. So such are the glories of King Parikshit, which are sung in Srimad Bhagavatam. And here we see that he is saved from the Brahmastra because he is a pure devotee, the only descendant of the great dynasty. But later on we will see that he could not protect himself from Brahma Shapa. Although he protected himself from Brahmastra, but he could not protect himself from Brahma Shapa because he was cursed by the Sringa Rishi. Rather, we can say that Krishna did not want him to live further because he had a higher purpose. So therefore, Lord decided that now whatever the curses are offered by Sringi, that should come in effect. So thus the ways of Lord were very inconceivable. We cannot understand why Lord does something to someone, especially his devotees. And similarly, we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, in case of Vasudev, who is none other than father of Lord Krishna, on his actually marriage ceremony, he could not protect his own wife because he was attacked by Kamsa, and somehow or other he protected Devaki, but at last he was imprisoned, isn't it? And Lord Krishna did not intervene. Okay, here is my father, my mother, they are attacked by Kamsa, and now he is going to send them to jail. So Krishna could have saved them. But Krishna did not do so. Because the Lord ways are very inconceivable. And for any Kshatriya, especially the warrior class of people who are very chivalrous, it is very disheartening to see that somebody is in imprisoning on the day of his marriage, and he is unable to protect himself. Somehow or other he could save his wife, and he is sent to jail for almost so many years. It is such a very disheartening. But still, Vasudeva is willing to undergo this difficulty in his life because he knows that the will of the Lord is supreme. Nobody can overcome it. And again we see in the case of Maharaj Ambarish, he is unrivaled emperor of the entire world. Every citizen, every other king accepted his order without any doubt, without any question. And such a great Rajarshi is again being cursed by Durvasa Muni. And he did not retaliate. Of course, Lord did not personally come here to protect him, because he had already protected him by giving him Sudarshan Chakra itself, isn't it? Because we don't hear any... actually, king means this warrior class of people, they always have to have some disputes, some wars, some battles here and there. Generally, that is how the king or warrior class is seen as. But here in the case of Ambarish Maharaj, at least in Bhagavatam, it is not mentioned that he fought with so many kings and he won the war, isn't it? There is nothing as such mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he was always absorbed in the service of the Lord, in his pure devotional service. So therefore, knowing that this king is so much absorbed in my service, how will the entire kingdom will run otherwise? So knowing well, Lord Vishnu personally granted him his own Sudarshan Chakra, which is insurmountable. And because he was benedicted with the wonderful weapon of the Lord, Sudarshan, But Sudarshan itself came in front and he protected the great king Ambarish. So, in such cases, how devotees are, you know, they are confronted with so many unpleasant circumstances, but the Lord is there always to protect them. But in some cases, Lord may not protect also. That also we see. But one thing is for sure, that Lord protects one's consciousness, if not the material body. Because that is what matters. Not ultimately what matters is the consciousness of a devotee. So therefore, again we see in Srimad Bhagavatam how Lord Krishna protected Arjuna. Krishna personally says in Bhagavad Gita, Pandavanam Dhananjaya. I am Dhananjaya, I am Arjun amongst all the Pandavas. Krishna declaring very boldly himself. And he was such a friend to Lord Krishna, Arjuna, because of his pure devotion. And because of Lord's grace and mercy, Arjuna could actually fight this insurmountable battle of Kurukshetra, and actually he could win the war, could win the war. And secondly, he spoke in order to, you know, fight this battle out. Lord Krishna personally encouraged him by speaking Bhagavad Gita. Such a glorious personality is Arjuna. And then Lord protected him against so many weapons shot by so many warriors in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It was only by the mercy of Lord Krishna that he could resist all these powerful weapons. Otherwise, he would have been destroyed long back. But it was Krishna's mercy that he protected his chariot and also Arjuna. And also we see that how Krishna personally took interest in marrying off his own sister Subhadra to Arjuna. Although Balaram was not very happy with this proposal, but Krishna went on marrying his sister Subhadra to Lord Krishna, Arjuna. About of love for his dear devotee Arjuna. Thus, Lord Krishna empowered him. He loved him so much. He offered his own sister to him. He gave his Bhagavad Gita. However, we see that when Lord Krishna departed from this material world, and Arjuna is in Dwaraka, he now wanted to protect the queens of Krishna. And now what happens? He is defeated by not some great kshatriyas or some great warriors, some cowherd, infidel cowherd people who are like aborigines, tribal people. They were sufficient to now defeat Arjuna in their battle with their, you know, ordinary weapons. And here is Arjuna endowed with Gandiva, Dhanush, and Pashupatastra and so many other celestial weapons. But still, Arjuna could not win this war. And against what? He wanted to protect the queens of Lord Krishna. Such an important act, task he had to perform. But now he was rendered useless. And then he says, Tadvai dhanushta nashata ishavaha taratho hayasthe. He said that I am the same Arjuna, having the same Gandiva bow, having the same all celestial weapons, the same Ratha given by Agni, the same four horses, but still I am unable to protect the queens of Lord Krishna against these infidel cowherd people. Why is it so? Because he now understood that now it is Krishna's will that he doesn't want me to perform any such heroic activities. So that means he could understand the will of the Lord. If it was any other person, he could be depressed and he could become very he would be feeling so down because he could not protect the queens. But now Arjuna is once again he is taking courage. He understands that it is now Krishna's desire that I need not perform any such heroic activities. It is Krishna who can empower anybody, and it is Krishna who can also disempower anybody. And it is Arjuna's greatness that he could understand this and he could accept it. And then what happened? Then actually remember the instructions of Krishna, which he had received in the form of Bhagavad Gita. And then he overcame his depression and he attained transcendence. Because there is Vapu and Vani. Krishna was personally there, he was befriending him. But now Krishna is not there. But Krishna's words are there in the form of Bhagavad Gita. And he took shelter of the words of the Lord and he attained transcendence, equilibrium. Similarly, here also we see that although Parikshit Maharaj is also a great warrior, descendant of Arjuna and Yudhishthira Maharaj, son of Abhimanyu, he is equally powerful. In fact, in future verses we will hear how glorious is this personality is. That how many, there are so many comparisons given, like Lord Rama, like Shivi, and so many other great kings he could equal with. That is the greatness of Parikshit. And also it is mentioned over there, the Tiraskrita Vipraladha Shapta Kshipta Hata Api Nasatat Pratikurvanti Tad Bhakta Prabhavopi Sahai. That means, devotees of the Lord are so forbearing, they are so tolerant, they can tolerate being cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, even killed. They can withstand any of such reversal in their lives. Although they are capable of overcoming them. Especially in case of Parikshit Maharaj, he could easily overcome the curse given by this Sringi. But he did not do so. He could have easily exhibited his power against this small, Brahmin boy. But he did not do so. He was ready to tolerate all that injustices. And that is the greatness of Parikshit Maharaj. Although he was capable of overcoming it. Tad bhakta prabhavopi saha. So because he had such great wonderful Vaishnava qualities, so therefore Lord Krishna was so much pleased with him. The very next chapter, 19th chapter, we see that how Lord Krishna personally sends him great son of Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami, to enlighten him. Previously, he personally enlightened his grandfather. Now he has sent his representative to enlighten Parikshit Maharaj out of love for Parikshit. So therefore, so Parikshit Maharaj sits down and hears Krishna Katha for 7 continuous days in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus, it is these questions of Arjuna which made Krishna to speak Bhagavad Gita. That means it is Arjuna who actually gave birth to Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, it is Parikshit, the son of Abhimanyu, the grandson of Arjuna, who actually, because of inquiries, he actually gave birth to Srimad Bhagavatam. These two most wonderful literatures in Vaishnavism have been given by these two great personalities in the dynasty of Pandavas. So, other day, the day before, we celebrated the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami. And actually in our Brahmachari class, there was a wonderful celebration. And our team of devotees who take care of sadhana of all Brahmacharis, they had arranged this beautiful festival. It was really mesmerizing. So, actually the first Damodar Prabhu, he gave mental tour of, actually mental parikrama. We did parikrama of Govardhan sitting right here in Gauranitai Hall. It need not go to. Some devotees went to Vrindavan and Parikrama, they did Parikrama. That's also glorious. But also it is equally important and equally beneficial and equally potent. We can simply do these kind of Parikrama, sitting where we are, just contemplating what happened in those places. So thanks to Damodar Prabhu who gave us this mental Parikrama, circumambulation of Govardhan Hill. And then later on there was a beautiful drama enacted by our team of devotees, brahmacharis, on the life and teachings of Sanatana Goswami. And after that, His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu, he gave a wonderful talk, a very interactive session he gave. Then he was talking about Guru Tattva, and also he spoke about the glories of Srila Vyasadeva. Because Guru Purnima is actually birthday of Vyasadeva, appearance day of Vyasadeva. So therefore, we need to remember the glories of Vyasadeva and what all he has done for the entire humanity. So it was a wonderful event that took place. And of course, Sanatana Goswami, his teachings are there, Brihad Bhagavatam Ritam and Hari Bhakti Vilas and so many other. He also wrote commentary for Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnava Toshini, something like that. So I just thought of, you know, sharing some part of his literature, that is Hari Bhakti Vilas. Actually, there is a book written by Dhanurdhar Swami Maharaj. He has actually compiled, it is called as Japa Transformations. So, in which there are so many articles written by so many senior Srila Prabhupada disciples. And one of the article is written by none other than His Holiness Suchinandan Swami Maharaj. And in that article, Maharaj has actually given us the insights into the some part of Hari Bhakti Vilas written by Sanatana Goswami, wherein Sanatana Goswami has given the 6 important steps to perfect one's chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So out of mercy for all of us, Sanatana Goswami has enumerated these 6 important steps so that we can perfect our chanting. So he explains over there that first one is Manas Samskaranam. He says about Manas Samskaranam. That means ability to control one's mind. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam asthiram. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that how this mind is very, very unsteady. So, but we have to control it. So mind may be very unsteady and flickering, but devotee has to sit down and try to control it and concentrate our minds on chanting of the Hare Krishna. The mind may go here and there, but the devotee is one who actually brings it back. Just like mother takes care of the child being very small, so is always, you know, going here and there. Mother doesn't mind him again going back out and, you know, bring him back up. So many times it happens every day. The mother still, without any problem, she goes out and she actually brings that sign, the child back. And it may happen dozens of times or hundreds of times. No matter what it is, how many times it is, the mother is capable of doing that. Similarly, our mind is like that. It may go here and there so many times, but just like a mother brings her child back, so we have to bring our mind back. And Maharaj says, dear mind, please come back, come back, come back. Where are you wandering? What are you doing? Come back. And he actually addresses the dear mind, my dear mind, please, please listen to me. Bhaja Hure Mana Sri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanaravindare. Also, the Vaishnava Acharyas have given this wonderful bhajan. They are addressing the mind. Mind is, although it is subtle and very inconceivable, but still we can address it and we can bring it back. So therefore, Manas Sanskarana means the ability to bring the mind back and concentrate it on the holy name. So we have to do it day in and day out, no matter how many times we have to do that. The more we try to bring the mind back, the more we can attract the mercy of Krishna. But what happens is we find it very boring and we find it very frustrating, isn't it? So many times we try to concentrate, the mind goes here and there, again we bring it back, again it goes, again we bring it back, again it goes, so it becomes frustrating event. And at the end, somehow or other, we want to finish our rounds, complete our round and get away with it. But Sanatana Goswami doesn't approve of that. He says that we have to bring it back and concentrate on the holy name. And actually, how to do that? Sachinandan Maharaj has given one very wonderful tip also. He says that, he mentions about Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who actually once dictated a letter to his disciple because he could not read and write. Actually dictated a letter, somebody wrote it for his disciple, in which he mentioned to his disciple that you better actually visualize the words Hare Krishna mantra. Actually see the Hare Krishna mantra written down and actually look at it and then you chant Hare Krishna. That was advice given by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj to his disciple. And actually it's a Vedic, visual meditation. It's a Vedic practice, yogic practice. And we see that our VTA devotees sit down with one big plaque of Hare Krishna mantra written in big words right here. And they look at it and they chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Maharaj mentions it's a very effective and very fruitful method of actually trying to concentrate on Hare Krishna. Then Sanatana Goswami speaks about the second step. He said that Shaucha, that is internal and external cleanliness. So we all have realized that how our past memories haunt us when we sit for our japa, isn't it? As soon as we sit with our chanting beads, so there are so many thoughts, innumerable thoughts come in and they actually inundate us. It happens almost every day. But then Sanatana Goswami speaks two important things, external and internal purity. When we have these two things, then we can actually overcome this problem. Externally, we bathe, we wear fresh clothes and then we wear tilak and then we sit amongst the devotees and we chant Hare Krishna. Externally, it is an easy thing to do. But internally also, we have to actually try to focus our mind on hearing the holy name. As described in the first step, that we can actually visualize Hare Krishna mantra. Initially, we may have to look at the Hare Krishna mantra written down. But later on, the mind becomes, accustomed to see Hare Krishna mantra even mentally. And then it becomes much easier to concentrate on the holy name. It is mentioned over there. So therefore, one needs to concentrate on the holy name. That is, thus we can bring about internal purity. Purity is very essential to achieve the mercy of the holy name, external as well as internal. So the third step, he speaks about the mauna. Mauna is silence. Actually, the prajalpa, unnecessary idle talk, that actually pollutes the mind. And it's a serious disturbance to the mind. And we have to avoid it somehow or other. No matter what it takes, we have to try to avoid this. Because its effects are absolutely devastating. So it actually drains away our interest in Krishna consciousness. And also, any love for holy name and Krishna Katha. Therefore, it is very essential to Some or other calm down our mind and overcome this tendency to do unnecessary prajalpa. And actually, amongst them, the most deadliest of all is criticizing the devotees. Isn't it? Vaishnava Aparadha. It is called as mad elephant offense. When the mad elephant enters into any garden, and everything will be devastated within no time. Similarly, we try to actually nurture this garden. We put the seeds, we put water, and we put fence to actually take care of this, our own beautiful garden of devotional service. But when a mad elephant enters into that, then there is a devastation. So much of hard work we try to do throughout the day, throughout the month, throughout the year. But one time when we criticize devotee, so then there is devastating effect takes place. That means what? Immediately we can realize that our taste has gone in hearing and chanting and service. And this doesn't stop there. One goes on criticizing. So it's an endless chain. It's like a vicious cycle. So therefore, we have to overcome this transiency. And then, His Holiness Sachinandar Maharaj advises that we have to dive deep in the Vaishnava literatures. We have this tendency to do prajalpa because we don't find much, you know, taste or mellow or rasa in devotional. So that is our perception. Actually, it is not the way. Actually, our mind sees it as a very dry process. So therefore, Maharaj advises that we have to dive deep in the scriptures. There is so much about Lord Krishna to hear about His chivalrous, you know, activities, His romance with His devotees, the intriguing pastimes, the drama, the scandals and what not. Everything is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. And those who are fond of reading Mahabharata, Ramayana, that is also okay. But Mahabharata contains everything. If they are not satisfied with Mahabharata, they can also visit some other literatures like Mahabharata and Ramayana and other literatures, Vedic literature, wherein all these pastimes, all these, you know, wonderful topics have been discussed very, very elaborately. And when we dive deep into this, actually, literature, then we can overcome this tendency to prajalpa, because there is no enough time to read these scriptures, isn't it? Yesterday, other day, we were discussing that Vasudeva has given so much. The four Vedas, 18 Puranas and Upapuranas and 108 Upanishads and Brahma Sutras or Vedanta Sutras. There is so much to read. One lifetime is not sufficient to actually go through these literatures. There is so much to read. So where is the time to unnecessarily, you know, do prajalpa? So therefore, Maharaj advises that we should dive deep in these literatures and then we can actually overcome this tendency to do prajalpa. So mauna means silence, but silent doesn't mean that simply keeping quiet, discussing about Krishna, hearing about Krishna and speaking about Krishna. So that is what the actual silence is. Silence to the unnecessary subject matters, but we are always talkative when it comes to Krishna's topics. So therefore, that is the third step he is mentioning over there. And fourthly, he says about mantra artha chintana. That is mantra artha chintana. The Hare Krishna mantra has meaning and we have to actually concentrate on the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. Isn't it? So, we just cannot, you know, do away with our rounds. We have to actually meditate on what we are chanting. So, our acharyas have given a simple meaning. Srila Prabhupada has given a very simple meaning of what it means. He says that, O all attractive Krishna, O all merciful Radharani, please engage me in your devotional service. So, this is the meaning of the mantra. Of course, other acharyas like Gopal Guru Goswami, actually Maharaj writes over there the elaborate description of mantra artha chintana, that is meaning of Hare Krishna mantra, which is too elaborate. If one can do that, very very wonderful. But otherwise, even simplest of this method what Srila Prabhupada has given is very very simple but very sublime. This we have to understand, that we are servants of Krishna and we are supposed to be engaging ourselves in service of Krishna, and actually we should beg for service. So that is the meaning of Hare Krishna mantra. So in the beginning days of Krishna consciousness, we may be given simple services like book distribution. Although they are simple, they are sublime, but initially they are given such services. But later on, when we spend some time, then we may be given services to preach, or we may be given services to manage, or worship the deities. No matter what the service is, but service is to please Krishna and his devotees. So, actually, this service, chanting produces service. If you properly chant the holy name, then the service will come. And the service comes, then we should understand, we should acknowledge that we had chanted, maybe in the morning or last day or whenever. So therefore some service has come to me. So we have to actually see that service in the form of Lord Krishna coming to us. And when we fail to do that, again we lose the taste for the holy name. So therefore, sometimes it may happen that we may not be able to actually render that service. But at least we should understand that, you know, it is the service that Krishna has given. And some other we have to regret that we are just unable to render this service. And then whenever next chance is there, then we can actually take up that service and do that. Because otherwise our chanting has no meaning, isn't it? So many thousands of times, 17,000 plus times we chant Hare Krishna in 16 rounds. 17,000 times if I say to somebody that give me some service, give me some service, give me some service. If I actually mean it, then service will come. And if the service comes, then if I am not attentive to that service, or at least I am aspiring to do that service, that means there is something wrong with our chanting. So therefore, we should be in the mood of beggar when we sit and chant Hare Krishna. Actually, some years before, I was in Surat city, and I was traveling in the morning. I happened to see a big crowd of people, very huge crowd, right in the corner, one big square of the city. And we were traveling back, then I happened to ask devotee next sitting to me, then why these people are so many crowded right in the morning? It was 6:37 o'clock in the morning. Then he said, no, Prabhuji, they are all daily wagers. They have come here to, you know, get some job. Now, who gives them job? No. They come here, they congregate here, and those who want to take services like, you know, these various services, plumbing, electrical and maintenance and this and that, they also come there, they hire them for a day. Or some days or 1 week. And then they take them and the service is given to them. And then again they will go on. But for your surprise, they will be every day you will see so many people there. Why? Because they are daily wagers. Daily wager, they get their job for that particular day, and then they have to search for the job very next day. And they come to the same place and get their job or service, whatever. Similarly, actually we are supposed to be acting like daily wagers. That means we have to actually beg for the service every single day. When we chant Hare Krishna in the morning, that means we are begging for the service. And the service comes throughout the day. And then next day again we sit and actually beg for the service. And we complete the service. Again we beg for the service. Again we complete the service. So that means that when we beg for the service will come. Actually, that is how this mantra artha chintana, Maharaj writes there, that we have to actually, the meaning of mantra is to beg for the service And when the service comes, we render that service, then Krishna is pleased. Then there is a taste for the holy name. We wonder why there is no taste in the holy name. Because we have no taste for the service, which is non-different than the holy name and non-different than the Krishna. Then Maharaj speaks about the fifth quality, the avyagratva, the patience. It is another important quality that we are supposed to cultivate. That means we need not rush our sadhana. It is very much opposed to the mood of bhakti. It is so very unappealing to the Lord. Because, let us say if we want to meet somebody for some reason, we have some questions to ask or we have something to do. If that person is not giving us enough time and is in a hurry, he is not even willing to hear our questions, he is not willing to hear our problems, then he is in a hurry, he just wants to finish it off. So then it is so very depressing to one who goes there, isn't it? Similarly, when we sit with the holy name, then we want to rush off, we want to somehow our other, we want to do away with our rounds and we want to finish the chanting. So that is not very welcoming. And Krishna will also think that, "Are, this person is not willing to spend enough time. He just want to do it away." So then Krishna might also run away from us. Before you complete your rounds, I will just go away from that. So maybe you can somehow or other, because I am there, therefore your rounds are not being chanted properly. I am not there. Then you can somehow or other. So then what happens? We will be, we want to try, we want to finish off our rounds as soon as possible. And then what happens? Then we will be left with our own dry rounds. How many rounds? 16 dry rounds or whatever number of rounds. Because we are in hurry to complete our rounds. So somehow or other we have to have patience that we may not actually relish the holy name right in the beginning, but we need to hear. So actually when we concentrate on the holy name, that means every word, every syllable. Of course, Burijan Prabhu also mentioned his book in Japa that when we actually concentrate, focus our mind on actually these syllables of mantra, actually then what happens? It happens so that you just want to continue. No matter how many rounds you have to chant, no matter how much time you want to take, you will take that much time. You will not rush off. Just like if you want to eat a feast, if you are really hungry, then every bite is relishable, is it not? So that hunger should be there, similarly for the holy name. And how that hunger is seen or activated when we hear it properly, then actually, because it's not ordinary sound vibration, it is actually transcendental sound vibration. When we vibrate these syllables, then actually there is a mellow, there is a taste, there is rasa. And when we actually get rasa, then we want to do it more. Why only for 16 rounds? Why only for 2 hours? Even if it takes 2.5 hours, doesn't matter. We'll complete our rounds in 2.5 hours or 3 hours, not a problem. Ideally, it is better to complete within 2 hours, but even if it takes a little extra, doesn't matter so much. Because we are relishing. Just like, if there's a feast, we don't want to just finish it up. Even if it takes 10 minutes extra, we'll sit there and we'll complete and then we'll come out. Not that everybody has gone and woken up, they have left, therefore I'll also have. No, we'll take our own time to complete our own plate, isn't it? Similarly, we have to somehow or other be patient to complete our rounds. Maharaj mentions there. And sixthly, he mentions that anirveda, that means steadfastness, that means persistence to chant the holy names. So a means not, a nirveda means indifference or disregard. This is another problem we face. We are indifferent to the holy name. We are hardly any regard for the holy name. But that doesn't work. So, Anirveda also means steadfastness. That means the fruits may not come immediately. We may have to spend so many years to complete, perfect our chanting. And in one of his lectures, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was mentioning that when one follows strictly the principles of devotional service, very strictly, then what happens? Very gradually he will advance. One has to very strictly follow all the principles, then what happens? Very gradually one may advance. So it's a very gradual process. We have to, in the beginning only, we should understand that it's a very gradual process. So therefore we should be steadfast. And Srila Prabhupada said, at least one lifetime we have to spend. At least whatever number of years when we live here, so we have to spend those many years and we go on following the principles of devotional service, then maybe at the end of our life, Krishna may become happy with our service attitude, then he may bestow his causeless mercy. For until then, we have to be very patient, isn't it? So, but we are in our modern times nowadays. Now everything is very instant. Instant food, fast food. Now we click some buttons and we get our Amazon delivery done within a couple of days. Otherwise it would take long time. And everything, fast food, fast, everything fast. Fast trains. So similarly, we also think this bhakti also is very fast. Yes, it is fast, provided if we are on that level. Otherwise, it will take its own time, depending on how much anarthas we have accumulated over the period of so many years. So that much time it is going to take. So therefore, it is better to be patient to actually release the fruits at the end. So therefore, it is said that sabar ka phal meeta hota hai. So, but the sabar, that patience has to be there. Otherwise, we may not be able to release the fruits right in the beginning. Isn't it? So, I was reading one of the lectures by His Divine Grace, C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The NOD lecture, 1972 in Vrindavan. He gave a series of lectures on Srimad Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, and in which he mentions about offensive chanting may give pleasures and pain. Isn't it? Offensive chanting can give us some pleasures and some pains. But then intermediate chanting, that is almost offenseless, that is Namabhas. When one chants Namabhas, then what happens? He attains liberation. But when one chants purely, that Shuddhanam, then immediately he can invoke the love of God within his heart. So, but how to chant offenselessly, Shuddhana. Therefore, it is mandatory in every ISKCON temple. Srila Prabhupada has made it very compulsory that we have to recite these 10 offenses for the chanting of the holy name right in the beginning in the morning. After Shikshashtakam, we sit down and we actually recite these 10 offenses. Actually, we should understand what are we saying. These offenses which we have to stop committing. Otherwise, our chanting will be always in the offensive mood, which we will never go ahead with that. Also, it's a tall order to speak on the holy name, but somehow or other we have to face the situation and actually we have to try to overcome these offenses to the holy name. And in the course of time, when we actually try to overcome these offenses, actually, these 6 steps mentioned by Sanatana Goswami, actually they help us to actually overcome these 6 and 10 offenses. And then we actually start relishing the holy name. At least we should come to the stage of Namabhas, which is intermediate chanting. If we cannot chant offenselessly, but at least then we should come to the intermediate stage of chanting Namabhas. And then from there we can once again come back to the original, our constitutional position to chant Hare Krishna offenselessly. And in order to do that, we need to pray at the lotus feet of all our acharyas, Sanatan Goswami Pad and Six Goswami Dhanshila Prabhupada, so that we can actually perfect our chanting in this lifetime, and then we can attain the mercy of the Lord by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Sanatan Goswami Pada ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandai, Hare Krishna.
Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.